Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing renter stigma at home in the apartment industry. I have joining me today by phone Dr. Carla Earhart, who is the professor of property management in the Department of Applied Business Studies in the Miller College of Business at Ball State University. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you, Paul. Glad to be here.
Full disclosure to our listeners, you did a session very similar to what we're going to be discussing today at the Apartmentalize, the National Apartment Association's annual conference in Chicago, and I attended that session, and it was such an intriguing topic that I thought would be of great interest to our audience that I asked you at that time to see if we could schedule a time to get you on the show to discuss this, and I'm happy we were able to get it done and have you on right now. So let's kind of jump into it. Renter stigma, let's give that a definition first for our listeners.
Renter stigma is actually something that a study by Apartment List, they did a study a couple of years ago of asking, what do we think about renters? And Apartment List, in their study, those respondents said that they felt that renters, the words that they used were transients, although we know in the multifamily housing industry that there are many long-term renters, that they're not necessarily transients. Another term that this study found was that people are thinking of renters as being less successful. We also know that's not true. They even termed them as second-class citizens, that renters were second-class citizens, and especially that they were renting because they can't afford a house, whereas we know that there are high-income renters that definitely could afford a house, but they know the advantages of renting instead of buying. The study went on to say that renters are perceived as not being invested in their location, that they lack commitment and responsibility, and that they're simply wasting money when they should otherwise be building equity by buying a house. So that's what we mean by renter stigma. It comes from the study that was done by Apartment List.
You know, that is such interesting information. Some of it I expected and some of it I didn't expect. But I would say that, you know, one of the things you said was that the advantages of actually being a renter, and you also termed those in your presentation as some of the benefits of being a renter. Why don't we discuss some of those?
Yeah, there's so many great reasons to rent in multifamily housing. There's no maintenance because there's property management staff who performs the maintenance, does the repairs. Is certainly lower upfront costs with renting as compared to buying a house. Another great advantage is it's easier to move. And think about today's economy and people changing jobs either because they want to or because they have to. With the pandemic has certainly impacted people and their need to be more flexible in moving because of job situations, where renting allows that flexibility. Buying a house and being tied down in a specific location with a mortgage makes it so much more difficult to move if a family needed to move for job relocation or for changes in their family or whatever the circumstance might be. There's certainly those consumer benefits to renting an apartment. But there's also benefits to the industry. There's so many great things going on right now in the industry with record low vacancy rates, record high rents, so that, you know, that may not be a benefit to the consumer, but in the industry, the rent rate is commanding a very high price right now. And there's so many people looking for apartments to rent that there is a huge need to build more apartments. The study that was done through the National Apartment Association and the National Multifamily Housing Council showed that we need to be building over 300,000 more apartment homes each year to keep up with this demand. And if those apartment homes are built, then we're going to need more staff, and it's simply job security for current staff, those working in the industry right now. So there's lots of good news for the apartment industry right now.
But it can't be all good news. There's got to be some news that's not so good. What would that be?
You are right. There is some negativity. Certainly the renter stigma is negativity. And what this has led to is only about a third of the U.S. population rents their home. Two-thirds either own or are in the process of buying the place that they call home. Only a third of Americans are renting. And specific to the multifamily housing industry, even fewer are renting an apartment. There's been a lot of growth in the single-family rental industry, which has been a negative for multifamily housing. So, yes, there is some bad news. There's good news, there's great news, but there's also some bad news.
And as I recall, at your session at Apartmentalize that I attended, you kind of couched this as a competition of sorts for multifamily to try and figure out a way to gain more of the market from the standpoint of people not moving on to owning a home. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would really like to see the apartment industry, the multifamily housing rental industry, step up and recognize that single-family home ownership is the competition. Of course, apartment communities are competing with each other and have been for years. And there's a lot of training devoted to that, you know, how to lease better, you know, all of the bells and whistles that make your apartment community better than another apartment community. But my concern is that we're not recognizing the true competitor, which is single-family detached housing that people want to own. They want that picket fence. They want that American dream. They want space. They want something that looks like a house. We've been conditioned to want something that is this American dream, with the white picket fence.
And I guess when we think about how to compete from an industry standpoint, you know, the other portion of that is that most people see that that home, that dream, as also a financial investment that's going to pay off down the road. And I know you talked a little bit about in your session about how you could help redirect those ideas to other investments.
Yes, there's lots of ways that apartment communities and property management companies can actually capitalize on what the American consumer wants. One of those ways is through their building design. As I said, people want something that looks like a house. I've worked with companies that are on our property management advisory board at Ball State, and so I'm very familiar with the portfolio of the members of our advisory board. One of the companies that I've worked with is the J.C. Hart Company here in Central Indiana, and at the National Apartment Association conference, I shared one of their examples of an apartment building that looks very much like a house. It's got a pitched roof, it's got individual entrances, it has porches and other outside space. It's got the exterior details and materials of a house. It's got landscaping that looks like a house. It's just a large apartment building that looks somewhat like a mansion, but it actually has 4 to 6 to 8 apartment homes in it. But you drive by it, and it looks like a very large house. The same with another company that is on our property management advisory board is Watermark Residential in Indiana, based in Indiana, but has apartment communities throughout the U.S. And they too have capitalized on what the housing consumer is looking for by having a gabled roof, having bay windows, having colors and materials that make the apartment home look very much like just a very large house. Another company that I've worked with is Millhouse. Something that they do with their apartment communities is to provide makers spaces, because housing consumers will say that they don't want to live in an apartment because there's not enough room to do woodworking, or there's not enough room to work on a bike or to do craft projects or sewing, or there's not enough room to even store the equipment and materials for that. But with Millhouse, these maker spaces actually it's a common space. It's part of their amenity package, and they provide the space, the tools, and the equipment so that their residents can work on those projects, can make repairs, just like they would do if they were living in a house.
All right. Well, let's break it here, because we do need to take a break, and we'll come back and circle back to this a little bit later in the show, because there's some more that I know you want to discuss on this. But we'll be back after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of renter stigma. at home in the apartment industry. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is Dr. Carla Earhart, who is the professor of property management in the Department of Applied Business Studies in the Miller College of Business at Ball State University. That's a mouthful. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to let our listeners know that if you would like to provide show topic ideas, guest suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Carla, you know, renter stigma, we define that, or you define that actually in the first segment. And we talked about some of the benefits of renter that renter stigma can have for both the resident and the industry, or rental housing has for the industry and for the residents, and also some of the downside of that for the industry itself. But let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that renter stigma can cause. That really is an issue for the industry.
Yes, Paul, thank you. There is bad news about renter stigma, and that renter stigma spills over into other aspects that then impact multifamily rental housing moving forward. And one of those is exclusionary zoning. Exclusionary zoning is when city officials prevent apartments from being built, either prevent them outright or say that they can only be built in certain parts of the city or restrict the number of apartment homes that can be built in a given area. And we know how much we need more apartments to be built. So when city planners or mayors or other elected officials or appointed officials for a city are restricting the number of multifamily housing units that can be built, then yes, that is bad news for the multifamily housing industry, and it results from this renter stigma. These elected officials don't have a good understanding of who residents are, of who the staff is, and what a great opportunity it would be to have multifamily rental housing in their community. But it's not just the city officials, it's also neighborhood groups. Neighborhood groups have often developed what's called NIMBYism, standing for not in my backyard. They may say that they're in favor of more housing being built or even more multifamily rental housing being built in general, but not in my backyard. They don't want it in their neighborhood. They're saying that they don't want those kind of people living in their neighborhood. And I'm doing air quotes when
yes.
I'm saying those kinds of people, because renters are great people. So when neighborhoods of single-family homeowners are saying we don't want those kind of people in their neighborhood, I'm not sure that they know who residents are, who rental residents are, because they're great people. But these local homeowners also say that the multifamily rental housing will reduce the value, will impact the value of their houses, and that is actually unfounded, that multifamily rental housing does not lower the property value, and in some cases it can actually increase property values. So all of those current concerns are really unfounded. Both city officials need to understand the value of multifamily rental housing to their city, to the economic development of their city, and the neighborhood groups also need to understand the value of multifamily rental housing in their neighborhoods. If they would have higher density housing available in their neighborhoods, it might also bring in more restaurants, more services, more businesses that would be valuable to everyone in that neighborhood. So there's a win-win, both for the city and both for the neighborhood as well, that I think we need to share that message more often of the value of multifamily rental housing.
Yeah, it all makes sense. And we've got about 4 minutes left in this segment, but I wanted to ask you, has this been in the news at all, some of the things you're describing?
It certainly has, and something that I do often is to simply Google the words apartment and opposition, and I find hundreds of media headlines on apartment community development that is being blocked, either by city planners or neighborhood groups. Again, that they don't understand the value of multifamily housing development, and the media tends to capitalize on this of all of the opposition, and it is nationwide that there's opposition to this type of development. So yes, I would encourage the listeners to do the same thing, to go online and use the search terms apartment and opposition, and daily there will be new headlines that appear on that list.
You know, and we've got about a little bit less than 3 minutes left in the segment, but you had mentioned in the first segment that the studies from both the National Apartment Association and the National Multifamily Housing Council, we're talking about the need for new apartments and more apartments to be able to meet the needs of the residents out there. What does this renter stigma do to thwarting the ability to meet that need?
There's certainly a direct impact that with the rental housing stigma, it impacts cities wanting to have more development, of neighborhood groups allowing development. And if we aren't meeting these development goals, if we're not able to provide 300,000 more apartment units every year to meet this demand, then the price of rental apartments will simply go up. It's a simple economic supply and demand issue, that if you don't have enough of the supply to meet demand, people are going to have to pay more in monthly rent in order to afford a place to live. So it's really, it behooves all of us to allow more apartment development. If people are complaining about the high price of rent, the solution is to allow more apartments to be built.
Yeah, and you know, some of the, I guess, the lobbying groups, whether it be the people who oppose apartment development, whether it's the homeowners, the single family owners, or some of the politicians, how can you get to them to get them to understand the benefits of that?
I think some of it is through the media. I think we need to educate the media. I think apartment communities and property management companies and professional organizations that focus on multifamily rental housing need to approach the media with great stories about people living in apartment communities and all of the advantages of living in apartment communities, and the advantages to the economic advantages of just multifamily rental housing in general. Too often, what is in the media are negative stories about multifamily rental housing. We need to get ahead of those stories and be sharing positive stories about long-term residents, positive stories about high-profile residents, positive stories about apartment residents who are very committed to their community, who volunteer, who have high-profile jobs, who could afford to buy a house but have chosen to live in multifamily rental housing instead. I think through social media, through traditional news media, there's a lot of opportunities that the industry can capitalize on.
All right. Well, you've teed it up for our third segment because we're going to jump right into kind of how we got to where we are with the renter stigma. We are going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of renter stigma at home in the apartment industry. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is Dr. Carla Earhart, who is the Professor of Property Management in the Department of Applied Business Studies in the Miller College of Business at Ball State University. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Carla, by the way, CTS is an Indiana-based company, I believe in the Indianapolis area, with a great gentleman who's a supplier partner of the industry named Travis Street, who's been a guest on our show several times. So hopefully your paths will cross at some point in Indiana. So let's talk a little bit about the how did we get here? We kind of teed it up in the last segment of how we got to the point of renter stigma. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that, Carla.
Thank you, Paul. It is important to note that this didn't happen overnight. This renter stigma has been building over the years. And one place that we can point some fingers is to public policy. The laws and regulations of our nation and our states, and it goes back as far as colonial America. Because during that time, there were certain privileges that were available only to property owners. So anyone that was a renter didn't have those same privileges. One of those is the right to vote, that only property owners had a right to vote in colonial America. So we can see the start of some renter stigma even as far back as colonial times. But it's been snowballing since then. There was in the 1920s, what was called the Better Homes in America campaign, and it encouraged home ownership. It was a national campaign to encourage home ownership. And since then, I'm sure all of the listeners are aware of more favorable tax treatment for homeowners through a variety of state and federal policy. So again, it separates homeowners from renters, makes homeowners more favorable because of the way that they're treated with the tax laws. And it hasn't stopped there. It's been through various political administrations over even 100 years that are continuing to promote home ownership as economic development, even though we know that building more multifamily rental housing also has advantages for economic development. The various political administrations seem to tout home ownership as economic development. So, yes, public policy does have a lot to do with renter stigma and how it all started.
You know, you kind of touched a little bit in the last segment on some of the solutions for this is to get more media attention. But that talk a little bit about how, not only in the media, but in movies and in other vehicles, how renters are portrayed, and even the staffs at the different apartments or places where people are renting homes.
That's correct, Paul. As I said, we can point fingers at public policy, but it doesn't stop there. Multifamily rental housing residents, as well as the staff, are also portrayed negatively in movies, in TV shows. I've talked about the news media already, but even books and magazines, even art and other images seem to glamorize homeownership and definitely a single-family detached house over an apartment and renting an apartment. Apartment buildings are portrayed as being crowded, as being crime-ridden, having lazy residents, lazy staff. There's even some cartoons that portray the villain as living in an apartment where the heroes of the cartoon, of a children's cartoon, live in a house, but the story places the villain in an apartment.
And that gets us to kind of education, and I know that's a big thing for you. I remember in your session that you had some children's books that that actually portray the people who live in rental housing as not being villains. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I have a special interest in reviewing children's books because I think children learn a lot from what they read, and children are our future. So it's very important that we give them an accurate portrayal of multifamily rental housing. And as I've looked at children's books, over 100 children's books, there are 80 to 90 that either glamorize single-family home ownership or are downright negative about renting an apartment. Only 10 to 15 of these children's books that I have reviewed actually are positive, have apartment residents as being the heroes of the story, or portray living in an apartment as something positive, as something normal, as something mainstream. So I think we need more children's books, or getting the current children's books that are positive about living in an apartment, getting those into the hands of children and families, and even in the hands of the media and the TV show producers and movie producers and elected officials. I think there's a lot that even adults can learn from these children's books.
And I know that, and we've got about 2.5 minutes left. I know that you had mentioned the language that we use. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think our language, there's so much that we misuse or incorrectly use certain words and certain phrases when we're talking about where we live. I think about the phrase, the real estate industry, where that phrase, a lot of people think of that phrase as meaning, you know, if you work in the real estate industry, you're buying and selling houses. When we use the word real estate industry, I just want people to understand that it means multifamily rental housing as a part of the real estate industry. That phrase isn't exclusive to owning a house. Even the term housing is meant to represent all forms of housing, not just buying and selling and financing a house. But housing is an all-encompassing word that also includes multifamily rental housing. But the word that really ticks me off the most is how people use the word home, because home is an abstract emotional concept, and it too can be applied to all forms of housing, not just ownership of a house. Renting an apartment can also be a home.
All right, well, we are going to break it here, and we're going to come back with our final segment of this episode right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of renter stigma at home in the apartment industry. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is Dr. Carla Earhart, who is the professor of property management in the Department of Applied Business Studies in the Miller College of Business at Ball State University. So, Carla, I know one of the things that that's important to discuss. So we've talked a lot about what the issues are with renter stigma, but let's discuss some of the things that the industry can do to overcome this renter stigma. Tell us some of the ideas that you talk about.
Thank you, Paul. One of the practices that I advocate is making sure that the staff of apartment communities on their social media, their own personal social media, that they are accurately representing the industry. I see social media posts that are sometimes just staff venting about residents, venting about, you know, what has happened on their site that day. And we all need to vent but I'm concerned that social media may not be the place to do it so publicly, because if you're venting about a resident, venting about someone not paying on time, or someone complaining about maintenance not being done, or complaining about anything, doing that so publicly concerns me when they're using social media for that, when we could more accurately and more productively use social media in a more positive way. I see real estate agents using social media to lift up the people that they just sold a house to. So I would like to see on-site staff using social media not to complain, but to lift up their residents, to lift up what a great day they had at the apartment community that day. So I think we need to look at social media and realize how public it is, and use that to our advantage by lifting up our residents and talking more positively about the industry. So social media is one way. Something else that I think the industry can do is to allow residents greater freedom to personalize their apartments. And I do anticipate some pushback on that because, yes, it's expensive. If you allow residents to paint the walls of their apartment home, if you allow them to hang their own window treatments, if you allow them to install their own lighting, there are some concerns there. I'll acknowledge that. But at the same time, it might be worth it if you allow a resident this greater freedom to personalize their apartment, if it also encourages them to renew their lease for another year or another 3 years or another 5 years, because that's what one of the things that they're looking for in wanting to buy a house is that freedom to personalize. So if we can give them more freedom to personalize their apartment, I believe that they'll stay longer.
Oh, go ahead.
Something else that I see the industry doing is in their volunteer activities. There's a lot of volunteerism among apartment community staff, and that is wonderful that they're getting out into their cities, you know, beyond their apartment community and doing things for other people. But one of the volunteer activities that I see is apartment community staff doing sweat equity for organizations who are building houses for individuals to purchase. And it concerns me of what kind of message does that send if apartment community staff seem to be supporting what would be considered the competition of single family home ownership. So I think there's a lot, I don't want the listeners to think that I'm not devoted to those organizations. They're great organizations. I'm just saying that there may be other organizations that apartment staff want to use for their volunteer activities that may be more in line with the apartment industry. So that's something else that the industry might want to think about, is their volunteer activities and what message that is sending.
Okay. I know you also mentioned that marketing is everything and everything is marketing. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, that's a phrase that I use in my own classes here at Ball State University. That's a test question actually coming up on a test next week in my Introduction to Property Management class, where students have to tell me what that phrase means. And what it means, the first part, marketing is everything. Marketing is how we tell people who we are. Marketing is what gets people in the door so that they rent an apartment. So marketing is everything. We have to do marketing. The second part of that phrase, everything is marketing, means that everything we're doing sends a message to let the public know more about us, whether that is the design of our buildings, our volunteer activities, our policies on how residents can or can't personalize their apartment homes. It's our social media posts. It's everything is marketing means that it's not just the advertising. It's not just those traditional marketing messages, because there's so many other things we're doing that sends a marketing message, whether we realize it or not. Everything is marketing. Everything we do sends a message to the public that helps them understand who we are, and we want that to be an accurate message on how great the apartment industry is.
And you also mentioned as far as overcoming the stigma, the renter stigma, is to speaking to schools and community groups. What do you propose there?
Yes, I want on-site staff and corporate-level staff to get out into the community, and don't wait to be asked by a school. Don't wait to be asked by a community organization. Let them know that you're available to speak to their group. You think that the local Lions Club knows about multifamily rental housing and what a great deal it is for the resident, what a great deal it is for the community, they may not know. And so this is an opportunity, whether it's with a community organization, an elementary school, a high school, a college class, to let people hear the story from someone who's living it on a day-to-day basis, who understands the value of the apartment industry and can share that message beyond the apartment industry into the community and into the lives of other people that need to hear that story.
And we've got, I want to transition in just a second to another topic, but before we do, I know that you mentioned in our previous segments about learning from what's going on with single-family home ownership, and that's the competition. Talk a little bit about, just briefly, how we can learn from the industries that cater to the single-family home ownership.
Yes, I think real estate agents and those professional organizations do a great job of feeding the emotional aspect of home ownership. They use the word home a lot. You know, they talk about the freedoms and the space and the equity and the financial advantages of buying a house. I think we, as the apartment industry, can tap into that and learn from them, especially the emotional appeal and how they really celebrate home ownership. I myself subscribe to many newsletters that are coming from that part of the real estate industry, because I want my own students to learn those tips and techniques from that part of the competition. I think that part of the industry does a great job of selling their product, and I think there's a lot that we can learn from them.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to transition. We could certainly talk about this topic, and hopefully we will again soon. We're having you back on the show. But I want to talk a little bit about you and how you got your start. You're actually, in my many couple of decades in the industry, you're the first professor of property management I've ever had the opportunity to meet. So tell us a little bit about you and your background. And then you got a couple of projects that that you're working on, and I think our listeners would be interested in that. We've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. To tell you a little bit more about myself, I've been teaching at Ball State University now for 30 years. Came here right after graduate school at Oklahoma State University, where I earned both a master's degree and a PhD in housing. So my general degree is in all kinds of housing. But after I had been teaching at Ball State for about 10 years, the Indiana Apartment Association, along with the National Apartment Association, came to Ball State University and said, we need a place where we can help grow the future of the apartment industry. Virginia Tech already had a four-year bachelor's degree in residential property management, and Ball State became the second university with a four-year bachelor's degree in residential property management. So that started about 20 years ago. There are now probably a dozen locations where you can do anything from a concentration in property management to a minor in property management and or a four-year degree in property management. And I have had the pleasure of helping several of those universities get started in teaching classes related to property management. What has really been an advantage for us and having connections with our state apartment association, our Indianapolis chapter of IREM, as well as the National Apartment Association and the National IREM organization, is that we're very in tune with the needs of the industry, and we have an advisory board of industry leaders from all over the U.S. Who come to campus at least twice a year. Who contribute to our university so that we are able to give scholarships to our students. We're able to take students on field trips, send them to conferences, do lots of fun things in our classrooms as a result of the industry support. That is what our students say when they tell other students about majoring in property management, that it's the connections that they've made while they're a student, that they have so many internship opportunities and so many job opportunities. Those students come to us not looking for an internship, not looking for a job, but faculty help the students determine how to turn down internship offers and how to turn down job offers because they get so many offers while they're a student.
If someone wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do that?
They can contact me through our Ball State University website. If they will go to bsu.edu and type in my name, Carla Earhart, it will pop up with all of my contact information. But a quicker way to do it is simply my email address, which is cearhart at bsu.edu, and that will go directly to my email, and I will respond just as quickly as I can.
Well, we are out of time for this episode, but I'd love to have you back on a future episode sometime soon. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.